Well, it's great to be up with you again. You know, it's good to be like our family up here. I just really enjoy coming up, Lane and I, and getting to know everyone and just having a great time with you, and special blessing to be able to share the Word of God with you and today. And I wonder if you'd join me in a prayer. So, Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that your love would flow like a river through this place today. Lord, that you would touch our hearts today. Lord, we don't want to just hear from a man. We want to hear from you. We pray, Holy Spirit, you move in your power and that you open up our understanding in the deeper parts of us, that, Lord, we could understand what it is that you're calling us to be. And we just give this time over to you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a great scripture, you know, that the Lord gave us. This is 2 Corinthians 3. And it starts with, in verse 17, it says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And then it goes on to say, and we who all with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And what it's saying is that basically we're on a process of change. God is continually changing us, and he's transforming us from what we are into something else. It's a process of change, and he's doing the work. Hallelujah. We've got to say yes to it, but God is going to take us. So you might say we're a work in progress. We're continually changing, and as we open our hearts and our lives to the Lord, what happens? The light of Christ begins to shine out more and more from inside of us, because when we become Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit of God, and the light of Christ begins to shine through us. And the Lord showed me that one time. It's like we're lighthouses, and inside the light is the mighty power of God. But you know, it's got to come through glass, which is pretty grimy. And the Lord says, now come on, I want you to help me. Together we're going to clean this glass. And the more we clean this glass, the more the light is going to come out. And I thought, wow, that's beautiful, Lord. You know, let me at it. But you know, one thing we realize in life is that nothing stays the same. You know, everything is changing. When you watch the news, you continually see that the old orders or the way we were used to things are being pulled apart. All through the Middle East, the situation in the Ukraine. It goes on and on and on. It's just like nothing stays the same. In fact, we know that the earth, what we're standing on, floats on tectonic plates. And recently, that big earthquake in Nepal, they said even Mount Everest shifted 1 inch. So God can move the mountains, amen? So everything is in a change. And we have to realize that that is true for us in our personal life. That in our personal life, everything is dynamic and fluid. And life is a journey. And on its path, this is where we are challenged to grow and adapt and mature. It's this process of challenge that the Lord uses to refine us and to change us into the leaders and the royal priests that he wants us to be. Amen? He's refining us and developing. And this is a wonderful thing. Now, sometimes when we look at ourselves, we tend to look at ourselves like a snapshot in time, a fixed image. And usually all we see is our weaknesses. Amen? That's what we look at. But the Lord sees us in what we will be. We're a work in progress. And what we can be is we allow him to mold and refine us. And I came across this really interesting statement. It was from a book, Clowning in Rome, by Henri Nouwen. And he said, there once was a sculptor who worked hard with hammer and chisel on a large block of marble. A little child who was watching him saw nothing more than large and small pieces of stone falling away right and left. He had no idea what was happening. But when the boy returned to the studio a few weeks later, he saw to his surprise a large, powerful lion sitting in the place where the marble had stood. With great excitement, the boy ran to the sculptor and said, "Sir, tell me, how did you know there was a lion in the marble?" You know, and this is the challenge, because the Lord knows what we can be. And when we look at ourselves, do we look at the lion in the marble? Or do we look at the marble? God is releasing us in the potential of what He wants us to be, and that the confinement of the old nature is going to be chipped away and will come into the leadership that He wants us to be. So we have to realize that this journey with the Lord is our choice. We can stay the way we are and remain resistant and stagnant, or we can allow the Lord to work on us and chip away. And I want to share with you about three mighty men of God from Scripture who had this process of change, and they were changed by the Lord. And the first one is Moses. Now, we know that Moses was a Hebrew slave, a baby, and his mom had to save his life, put him in a basket in the Nile, and the Pharaoh's daughter found him. He was raised in the Pharaoh's court and accepted as a prince of Egypt. And so literally he had all the power, wealth, and privilege of Egypt. But he was a product of Egypt, bound by their customs and their beliefs, arrogant and proud. And basically, he also was the spiritual darkness of Egypt, because Egypt had a worship of many gods. And so this was Moses. And one day it says he was walking through, and you'll find this, Exodus 2. He was going through and he saw this overlord abusing one of the Hebrew slaves. And he was so irritated, he killed the man and buried him, figuring no one would see, but God saw, and so did everyone, someone else. And the word got back to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh couldn't have that. And he said, "He's got to die because he murdered someone." And so Moses, in one fell swoop, was stripped of everything that he knew. He went from the penthouse to the outhouse. He was stripped of everything. Everything was taken away. He had to flee his country. He had to flee all the wealth. He had to flee his friends. He had to flee his family. He ended up in the desert of Midian. And in that quiet place, God began to mold him into the character and to the leader that he wanted him to be. And bit by bit by bit, Moses learned to be humbled, until it says in the Bible he became the most humblest man on earth. And in that place, his leadership began to flourish. Isn't it ironic that he went from the worldly leadership, but now in the desert he was being molded to the leader God wanted him to be? And of course, God then called him to come back and used Moses to bring him out and bring his people out of slavery through into towards the promised land. And the next one I want to share about is Joseph. And you'll find this in the Bible in Genesis 37. It's a fascinating history of Joseph's life. Now, when we first see it, we see Joseph was just a daddy's favorite boy, a goody-goody two-shoes that did everything he wanted. And, of course, it sounded like he was a really spoilt brat. He tattled on his brothers, who hated him for it, and he was just a real nuisance. But he was anointed by God, and God had given him prophetic dreams. And in these dreams, God revealed that he was going to be a mighty leader. And in fact, in the dreams, it showed that not only would his brothers bow down to him, but his mom and dad would too. Of course, in his immaturity, he went out bragging about this to his brothers, and they were so irritated, they decided they were going to kill him. So they took him and they threw him down in this well. Then they decided they'd sell him to be a slave. And as slave traders were coming through, and he was hauled away as a slave into Egypt. And then he ended up in the house of one of the captain of the guards, Potiphar. But his leadership was starting to develop even then. And he became respected in that household. But then he was accused unjustly of rape, the wife of the captain. And then he went from being a slave in a good house to being a slave in the dungeons of Egypt. And I imagine they're pretty bad today, but in those days it must have been a pretty awful place. But in the dungeons of Egypt, God revealed the leadership qualities of Joseph. He was kind and considerate to his fellow prisoners. He gained the respect of the people around him. He began to interpret their dreams, a cupbearer and a baker that had been in the Pharaoh's court. And already at that stage, his leadership was being recognized even in the dungeon. You know, the one thing you begin to realize in the Lord, it's not your position and authority and credentials that makes you a leader. It's your heart. And God was revealing that he had the characteristics of leadership. And then one day the Pharaoh got these dreams, and he couldn't understand them. And you can read about it in the Bible. But basically they were foretelling that there'd be 7 years of plenty in Egypt, followed by 7 years of drought. We're worried about this drought. Imagine 7 years. And he didn't know what to do. He had two dreams that kept telling us. And his cupbearer said, well, I met a man in prison. He was very wise, and he was able to interpret dreams. His name was Joseph. He said, go and see Joseph. So the Pharaoh brought Joseph, and Joseph now, brought out of the dungeon as a slave, tells the Pharaoh that the dreams mean there's going to be these 7 years of plenty, and they should store up all their grain and food, followed by 7 years of drought where they can protect and look after all the people. And then he says to the Pharaoh, and choose some wise person that would be able to look after and administer all of that. And the Pharaoh says to him, you're that wise person. That was a remarkable step, amen? He went right from the bottom of the dungeons to being the second highest power in the superpower of its time, Egypt. And we know what happened because he became the savior, not only for his people, but also for the whole world, essentially, at that time. And then a remarkable thing happens where his brothers start coming back. These years, God has molded his character and brought out the lion. And when his brothers come back, instead of being filled with bitterness and hatred and meanness and say, I'm going to get these guys, they really got me, an eye for an eye, what goes around comes around, you know, the things we say. No, he was filled with grace. He was filled with grace when his brothers came back. And he was filled with love. And he told them, what you meant for bad, God meant for good. We don't know the plans of God and what we have to go through. But in all things we know that he works for the good of those who love him. Amen? It doesn't matter what we go through and what hardships and what Joseph had to do, alone in a well, wondering if he's going to be murdered and then sold as a slave and then betrayed and wrongfully accused of rape and thrown into the darkest dungeons. He didn't know, but he knew his God, and his God would look after him. And he didn't know what the end result would be, but all that process of hardship was refining him and molding him and changing him until he became one of the mightiest leaders of Israel and the world. And I thought it was rather kind of ironic because it was Joseph who brought the Israelites into Egypt, and it was Moses who brought them out over 400 years later. And the third one I want to share is Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul was a religious nutcase. He was just totally zealous for God and willing to kill anyone that didn't believe the way he did. And, of course, he went around persecuting the early church. He was going to destroy anyone that proclaimed the name of Jesus. It tells us in Acts 7 that when the apostle Stephen was being stoned, he was there approving of that. He thought that was pretty good. But God wasn't finished with Saul, because God knew what Saul could be, not what he was. And so as he's going on the path to Damascus, a bright light comes around him. God reveals himself to him. He loses his physical sight and gets his spiritual sight. And at one fell swoop, that light comes on, and the Lord says to him, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. And in that one fell swoop, Saul was transformed from one degree of glory to another. He became Paul, the greatest apostle we've ever had. He was willing to be persecuted, beaten up, thrown in jail, stoned, because he proclaimed the name of Jesus. But he spread the gospel from one end of the world to another. And he was totally, he had all his mindset stripped away. And his way of thinking was turned upside down. He became a new man. Now, you could have written him off as a religious bigot, but he became a mighty man and leader of God who proclaimed the grace of God, the unconditional love. And for each of these things, you can see how God took these folks and he took them out of the place they were in. And in the hardship that they went through, there was something being molded in them and refined in them until they became the people God wanted them to be. God's like that. He told the prophet Jeremiah, he said, now look, you go down to the potter's house, that's Jeremiah 18, and you'll see a potter making a pot. I know there's potters here on Gabriola. And he said, you watch them, and if they make something wrong in the pot, they just mold it again and make it right. He says, that's what God's doing to us. We're being molded. But you know what? You can't mold a dry pot. Amen? You ever try to mold a dry pot? It's got to be wet and subtle. You've got to keep working at it. So we want to be soft in the Lord and allow him to keep changing us. You know, I had an experience myself. I had formed a company called Safer. We had Safer soaps and a whole line of plant care products. And we grew very fast. And as usually happens when you grow fast, you lose control. And an American company got control of it. And after putting everything into it for about 15 years, I got a call one day and said, George, lay off all your staff that day. I had 27 scientists and technicians. And he said, oh, by the way, in 2 weeks you can go too. And they said, well, we're going to strip everything away from the laboratories. We're going to go to your greenhouse, and we're not going to leave anything standing. But I went to church one day, and Alistair Petrie, who was there as our pastor at the time, he said, I got a word of the Lord from you. I believe it's from the Lord. He says, the door he opens, no man can close. And the door he closes, no man could open. And I knew what God was saying to me. I knew it in my knower. He said, that's okay, I'm taking care of the old company. I'm going to birth a new company for you. And we went through a lot of troubled water, but I held on the word, and it happened exactly the way God said. But you know what? I sure learned what not to do the next time. Amen? Because the thing is, you go through these hardship times, it's not to be held down and buried because of it, but to learn from that and go into the next phase of our growth, because it's something God is continually molding and chipping away at us. Now, the thing is, what about us? Do we see the bigger canvas of God in our lives as he crafts and molds us in his image? Do we see the lion in us, or do we see the marble Ask yourself, how are you looking at yourself? Do you look at yourself the way you had been in the past? Is that what you identify yourself? Because if you tend to look in the past, there's an enemy who tells you what a bum you are. Okay? And you'll tend to look at the negative. If you look at yourself in the present, you'll only see part of your potential. If you look at the past, you remember Lot's wife was coming out of Sodom, and the Lord said, don't look back. And she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. If you look back, you'll get immobilized and bitter. If Joseph had looked back, he would have been a very bitter man in the dungeons. Amen? We've got to look forward, continual forward, because the Lord wants to release the lion in us. And he doesn't want us to look at the chips on the floor. So often we find in ministry, everyone's looking at their misdemeanors, not realizing if they've taken it to the cross, God has taken that to free you into a new place. So you're being transformed from one degree of glory into another, into the likeness of Jesus. And that's the process of change. And it's a good process. It's something that God wants us to do. And we have that beautiful promise in Romans 8:28 that I mentioned. We know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's not fun going through hardships. It's not fun going through illnesses or emotional trauma or family breakdowns. But if you hold firm in the Lord, you're going to come out of it a stronger person than you went in. Amen? You're going to come out much stronger, much more able to deal with the next thing the enemy throws at you. And this wonderful promise of God, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. We heard our sister sharing that. You don't have to be afraid. He is faithful. Even though we're going to go through hardships, he's with us, and he's going to use it for our good. And he's going to bring us to a new place. And basically, as he does that, he's refining our character. Because, you see, character is more important to God than position. Amen? That's what is important to God. You know, there's an incredible thing back in, it's recorded in the book of Numbers, Numbers 17, you can read it, when all the Israelite tribes started clamoring and saying, our guy should be the high priest of Israel, not Aaron. And they all began to make a racket, and God said, okay, now grab the staff from each of the tribes. And they did. Now the staff was the symbol of office. That's what they carried, was the staff. He said, I want you to bring these staff, I want you to put in the tent of testimony, and I'm going to prove to you who is the leader. So they did that. And then we read Numbers 17:8. The next day Moses entered the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. And I was asking the Lord about it. I said, well, what does all that mean? He said, well, it's the fruit of your office that proves your leadership. It's the fruit of what your position. What is the good fruit that comes out of your office? If you're in youth ministry or prayer ministry or whatever, in your home as leader, it's the way your character, which reveals the fruit of God, that is proving that you're the one the Lord wants for that leader. So the proof of leadership is the way you handle the leadership, not just the title. Amen? And that's releasing the lion out of the marble. because God is completing. And I want us to realize, and I'm going to pray in a minute, because so often we get stuck at one fixed point in time, looking at ourselves either a snapshot in time of what we've done in the past or the way we are today. But how many of us look at the way the Lord looks at what we will be? Do you see yourself as what you will be and can be in the Lord if you allow Him to keep molding you? Or do you see yourself as a finished work of art? It's a question. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. You guys realize He's going to keep this process going until we come to Him in glory. Because this is the walk of holiness. This is the walk of transformation until we come to Him in glory. But every time we allow this change, and we have the choice, we can say, no, I'm going to be stuck in the marble. But if you get stuck there, you're going to be immobilized. So I'm going to pray now that for us, and you can tell the Lord where you're at, that you're willing to lay down the old way of looking at yourself, of looking at yourself, of what you were in the past, or maybe even what you are today. And let's put that at the base of the cross and agree with God that we're going to look at ourselves of what we can be in Him. And look at the brokenness as the chips on the floor instead of our identity. You know, you don't want to come into a sculptor's place, look at the chips on the floor and say, that's me. That's me. I'm fearful. I'm this. I'm that. Can you see it as chips on the floor? Okay. Let me pray for you. And if you feel this, you want to enter into this prayer, just do it in your own heart. So, Father, we come before You today in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we confess that we have not looked at ourselves from Your eyes, from what we could be and what we will be as we walk with You. We've been too willing, Lord, to look at the things we did wrong, the mistakes we've made, the problems. But Father, this morning we choose to lay them down at Your cross. And we choose, Father, to forgive ourselves for condemning ourselves. And we choose to leave them there. And Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus now that You would give us a fresh vision in our heart this morning to see ourselves as You see us, a lion still in the process of being freed, still in the process of being molded and released from our fears, our anger, our hurts. And Father, we just allow You to give us a fresh perception of who we are in You. And we choose to continue to walk in that way, Lord, and say, Holy Spirit, change us. Change us, Lord. Touch me. Change my heart. Change my mind. Bring me to a new place. Give me eyes to see what I will be in You instead of the eyes of the world. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.